You're doing all the right things, like eating clean and staying active, but nearly all of us are still missing a key piece, minerals. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's not getting, supporting mood, energy, immunity, and nervous system balance. It's made from ionic trace minerals your body actually absorbs and comes in three delicious flavors, blue raspberry, blue Hawaiian, and blue acai. Because your body can't make minerals and modern food and water don't supply enough, start with minerals. Start with Concentrace. Find it now at TraceMinerals.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. Make sure to follow me and download your favorite scary stories on my Apple Podcast and my Spotify, Tales from the Dark Forest. There's nothing worse than having a sighting or an encounter with a real-life cryptid. Just like tonight's story, I hope you're prepared tonight. It is as the title states. I am fairly certain that I saw a Wendigo out the window of the train. If that were the only event that happened, then I wouldn't have any reason to tell my story. In order to get into what happened, let me start off at the beginning of my day. It was a normal Saturday as far as I was concerned. I stayed up until about 3 a.m. playing the newest online mobile game with my brothers. Yes, I know it is considered a sin to cheat by using my brother's screens to determine who the imposter is, but I'm not getting into that debate right now. I woke up not too long after 9 a.m., played on my phone a while, and then hopped out of bed. Threw on the same clothes I had on the day before, and headed downstairs to the kitchen. I threw together my favorite breakfast food, while my brothers both groggily dragged their feet to meet me. My twin brother, Gabe, decided to shower to wake himself up, while my younger brother, Zach, decided to partake in the feast of homemade waffles with peanut butter and chocolate milk. By the time Gabe was dressed and sitting at the kitchen table, Zach and I had already finished putting the dishes into the dishwasher and cleaned off the table. I had packed in advance, and my train wasn't for a few more hours. So my brothers and I pulled our phones out and began terrorizing other servers of Among Us for a little while. After we grew tired of the online insults and cyberbullying that we received for cheating, we played some Mortal Kombat on our PS4. It was a very relaxing morning, all things considered. As I prepared to collect my luggage and leave for the train station, I reiterated the food plans to my siblings. The roast is in the slow cooker. All you have to do is clean up. It is going to be finished at 6 today, and if you aren't sure if it is done, then shoot me a picture. I continued, speaking over my Gabe's attempts of assuring me that they'd be fine without me. Remember, tomorrow is oven-baked chicken fingers and fries. After school, Monday is burgers. And you could order anything you want for Tuesday, and pay a tip. I rushed my sentence as Gabe held the front door in our tiny rented house open for me. Chrissy, we'll be fine, okay? Chill out, okay? Gabe chuckled to himself. You're right. You'll be fine. Do your homework. I love you guys. See you Wednesday. I called to them as I headed down the paved driveway and towards the bus stop down the road.
Hasta la vista, baby.
As Zach yelled my favorite movie reference of all time at me, I couldn't help but smile. They'll be fine. I raised them well, I thought to myself. I looked at them waving in the front open door and gave them a very flat and stern expression.
I'll be back.
I deepened my voice as best as possible before smiling and heading back towards the bus stop. My parents were extremely busy people in our lives. Gabe was born with a learning disability and required more attention from my parents than I needed. I had to grow up and mature faster to be able to take care of Gabe, as our mother was a full-time principal in our local school and a part-time student tutor, while my father worked as a warehouse manager full-time and was often working the midnight shifts. He worked those shifts due to the employees' reputations to be unproductive. He always said he needed to straighten them out. My father would sleep all day, and my mother would work all day. I would always prepare Gabe's lunches and walk him to school, walk him home and make dinner for him. I helped him with his homework. I read him bedtime stories. I tucked him into bed. I was always there for him. Zach was born a week before my 9th birthday with Gabe. By now, Gabe was quickly maturing, surprising everybody. He was potentially even smarter and more socially acceptable than I was, though he didn't have the same parenting skills that I had developed, and therefore wasn't entirely confident in even turning on an oven or setting a microwave timer. Anyways, by the time Zach came around, I was well aware that I had to raise him too. I so desperately wanted my mom and dad to be real parents for little Zach, to be there for him and be what Gabe and I never had. But I knew deep down that that would never happen. By the time Gabe and I were 18 and Zach had just turned 9, the three of us moved out into our own apartment. I wasn't even sure that our parents would notice Zach's absence, to be honest. They had no issues with us all moving in together. They said to me themselves that they knew that Zach was better off with us than them. They said he was never supposed to be, which entirely angered me. Because of this, Gabe and I started to call Zach our miracle brother. Despite our age gap, the three of us were extremely close with one another. It was us three against the world. Nobody would change that. Then, about a year ago, I fell in love with an old high school crush. His name is Brian. We were always close friends since 9th grade, but as high school came to a close and we parted ways for university, we confessed our love. It was a very corny movie moment to me. Even through long distance, we made our relationship work. Gabe and Zach were obviously jealous that Brian was taking all of my attention. They were afraid that Brian was going to take me away from them. All that aside, they liked my boyfriend. They were all friendly and had good laughs together. They were happy for us. So here I am, at the train station, awaiting my train to my boyfriend on our first year anniversary. I anxiously awaited the train, wondering with me when I got back. Maybe they were mad already, or maybe they aren't upset at all. I talked myself into thinking that I was doing the right thing, even though my stomach was turning violently. I was feeling very nauseous. It had nothing to do with anything I ate. I had a horrible feeling. Something inside me was telling me that something bad was going to happen. I didn't listen to it at the time. I thought it was just all the nerves of traveling. I was just so excited to see Brian. The train was quite long. It went from my small town to southern Ontario to the northern and frigid climate that was stereotypically portrayed as all of Canada. Overall, the trip to Brian's apartment was close to 12 hours. However, that includes the train ride along with the bus and the drive that Brian had to take from his apartment to where I arrive on the train and back to his apartment. I had boarded the train and had been seated when one of the staff train members asked to scan my ticket. I quickly apologized for not being prepared and dug through my luggage to find my ticket. After ensuring that I was settled and asking if I wanted any food or drink for the ride, the staff member had moved along down the aisle. I looked around the car, noticing only three other passengers before pulling out my laptop from my bag and popping my headphones into my ears. I sent a text to my parents informing them of my absence from my hometown for the next few days and threw on some YouTube. Gaming channels were always a favorite, but recently, Gabe had gotten me hooked onto a game theory channel. I could sit there for hours watching different conspiracy theories about video game lore. And for the first half of my trip, that's exactly what I did. The early winter sunset filled the skies with orange and pink highlights, as I had decided to put my laptop away and watch the window with my music playlist on. I had always enjoyed listening to music on long trips, especially across the country. I tried to imagine cheesy movie scenes taking place in the open fields, with slow songs playing and faceless couples slow dancing. Within about an hour, after I first peered out my window, the snow had begun. At first, it was a light flurry, hardly visible as the train sped along the tracks. Eventually, it was blizzarding. Simply looking outside gave me chills as I never enjoyed being in the snow. Snow is pretty, but from afar, I'd always say. I shivered underneath my thick leather jacket as the train came to a slow stop in a remote northern town. This was not my stop, as the train station itself was visibly the largest building in the entire town. Anyone could stand on one end of the town and see the other end down the road, even in the blizzard-like conditions that was present. As the train waited, I kept my eyes focused outside my window. No passengers had left the car, and no additional passengers had boarded. I found this to be very strange, as the train needed to always stay on schedule. Little time was available for simple stopping. There must be something wrong with one of the employees or the conductor, or possibly even the train itself.
Attention passengers, we apologize for the delay. We will continue on our trip in 5 minutes. Once again, we apologize for the delay. We thank you for choosing to ride with us and enjoy your evening.
The overhead speakers broke through my thoughts and pulled me back into reality. I simply looked around the car for a moment and then texted Brian to let him know about the 5-minute delay. When I looked back outside my window again, was when I saw it. The tall figure was hunched over with its back towards me. I could see the back of its white skull and its antlers broken and distorted. It was extremely frail, its limbs impossibly long and spindly. The creature was in the tree line across the town. Hardly any specific details were noticeably through the extreme snow, however, I recognized right away the creature. Doubt had settled in, almost as fast as the creature seemed to appear. Had it always been there? Was my mind playing tricks on me? It became more and more obvious the longer that I gawked at it. Had I not noticed it until now? What the hell? I whispered under my breath. At the moment I was so quiet, I wasn't even sure I had said it out loud. Just as soon as I questioned, the creature whirled its head at a near 180-degree angle to face me. The black pits for eyes stared deep into my soul. The creature had heard me, and now this creature had seen me. I was sure of it. Its mouth unhinged and an animal's corpse fell out. Blood spilled everywhere. Whatever this creature had been consuming was too mangled to determine what it really was. The train jolted to life and crawled across the tracks, gradually gaining speed. I was startled from the sudden movement and jumped nearly out of my seat. The creature only started as I sped off. I scrambled to get my laptop out of my bag and reconnect to the train's Wi-Fi. I spent the last 2.5 hours on my trip researching the creature. This is where I had learned of its name, Wendigo. This creature had been a part of native folklore for many generations. I nearly couldn't hold my dinner in when I had read about the stories of cannibals becoming Wendigos hundreds of years ago. After reading other people's close encounters online, I was more and more convinced that what I saw was real. I was ready to move on and forget about my encounter with the Wendigo by the time I stepped off the train. I practically fell into Brian's arms and broke down, a mixture of fear and emotions and sadness and loneliness overtaking me all at once. I was grateful to be there with him, in his arms, and when I needed him most. I told him about my encounter with the cryptid on the drive back to his apartment. "I believe that you definitely saw something," he began, his doubt unintentionally present in his voice. "I just don't believe that a creature like that exists is all. Like, how come the only solid proof of it existing is the tall tales and folklore?" "I don't know, Brian." I quietly looked to my feet. He reached one of his hands off the wheel and held mine firmly and reassuring. I don't know what it is, I guess. It feels real to me." "Well, that's good enough for me," he said calmly. "That's enough reason for me to keep you safe." His classic cute grin formed on his face, revealing only a few of his nearly perfect white teeth. "Oh, you need a reason to keep me safe?" I jokingly said, as if he had said something offensive. "Well, no, I." He stumbled under his words. I made it comically clear that I was not believing him. Brian had managed to make me forget about my terrible experience hours ago. We were laughing and joking around as he pulled into the parking space in his apartment complex. The building itself hadn't been very tall, only about 10 stories. The building itself was nearly completely surrounded by dark Canadian woods. His town wasn't very large, only about 8,000 residents. Beautiful, lush, evergreen forests surrounded the little city, which nearly every house had its own tree in the front lawn. Sparkling white snowflakes gently fell around me as I stepped out of Brian's car. The parking lot was lightly covered in snow before I had managed to make it to the entrance of the building. Brian, like the gentleman he was, carried my luggage from the car and to the apartment. He was talking about one of the regular customers at his fast food part-time job when I cut him off. "Listen," I said in a hushed whisper. The hairs on my arms stood on end. Goosebumps formed all over my body. "Someone is watching us. I could feel it." I scanned the tree line, but saw nothing out of the ordinary.
"I don't see anything, Chris."
"Exactly. It's so quiet." There weren't any noises around. Not a single sound. Only the eerie dread silence. "Is it always this quiet?"
"In the middle of the night? Yeah, it is."
Brian wasn't making me feel any better.
"What's wrong, Chrissy? You look spooked."
"Let's just go inside. I don't like it out here." I clung onto his arm and rushed towards the front doors. Once inside and in the elevator, I told him what I read online. I explained that the absence of any natural noises or wild animals typically means there's a predator around. With his apartment complex close to some dark woods, I wasn't very calm. I also told him how I felt that we were being watched from something in the woods.
"Babe, your nerves are probably just shot."
He held me close to him, trying to calm me down.
"I promise you're safe here. It's gone, I promise."
He drifted off. That night, I dreamt that the creature had followed us. I saw from its point of view as it followed our car towards Brian's apartment. I saw as it watched us get out of the car and head inside. And I saw as it crawled into bed behind me, holding me in place.
"Don't move,"
it hissed, its hot breath on my ear. I woke up in a cold sweat. Brian was sound asleep beside me, looking peaceful as ever. I went to the kitchen and got myself a glass of water. I put on my warm, fuzzy cat coat over top of my pajamas and stood outside on the balcony. Some fresh air would do me good, I thought to myself. It was 3:20 in the morning, and there I was on the balcony on the 7th floor, contemplating a cigarette.
Feel off? Tired? Moody? You might be missing minerals, because 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps support energy, mood, and immunity from the inside out. Go to TraceMinerals.com and feel the difference minerals make.
I wanted to quit ever since I had taken ownership of my brothers, but on that balcony, I felt as though I had so desperately needed one. Feeling ashamed of myself for even considering one, I threw the only cigarette I had off the balcony. I needed to get a hold of myself before I returned home. I couldn't let Zach see me like this. Gabe would scold me if he were here, I thought. Wiping tears off my face, I looked around the tree line. I was just starting to regain my composure when I noticed something out of place. In the tree line, there was a deer skull.
the horrid creature's body was undoubtedly attached to it. It just stared at me. I rolled around and nearly dove inside Brian's apartment. I slammed the balcony's glass door shut and locked it. As I headed to make sure the front door was locked, Brian intercepted me, forcing a scream out of me. "What's the matter, Christina?" Brian held me by my arms. I wouldn't stop wailing. All that I could get out was, "It's following me," in between the sobs. He held me in a close hug until I was calm enough to explain my nightmare and the creature I saw mere moments ago. "Stay here," he said as he headed towards the balcony to take a look outside. I watched as he unlocked the door and stepped out onto the balcony. A chill went down my spine, but not because of the wintry night air flowing into the apartment. Brian just stood there, staring at one spot. After a long pause, he slowly backed into the apartment, not taking his eyes off of the creature outside. I knew he saw it. I knew he believed me. I could see it in his face, his eyes wide with fear, his mouth only slightly ajar. Without looking at me, he said, "The parking lot is in the back of the complex. Get your things, we can't stay here." "Are you crazy? That thing is outside. It's following me," I nearly yelled, panic setting in. I felt as though I was going to vomit. "That thing, it told me." Brian was in terror. "I don't know how, but it told me that it was going to come inside." I gasped, tears streaming down my face. "We have to go," he urged. I grabbed his hand and he grabbed his keys and we rushed out the front door. We ran to the elevator and rapidly hit the down button. I decided that taking the stairs was faster and bolted through the doors to the stairs. Brian followed right behind me. Reaching the stairwell, I looked to the bottom before descending the stairs. About halfway down the first flight, I heard heavy tapping coming from the bottom. I leaned over the banister and saw the undead deer creature making its way up the stairs. Brian nearly bumped into me as I spun around and sprinted up the stairs crying and screaming. He followed my lead without question as I headed towards the elevator, doors just opening to open. We both cramped ourselves into the elevator and Brian rapidly pushed the ground floor button. Just as the double door slowly closed, we saw the stairwell door open and the animal's snout making its way towards us. We held each other, Brian verbally praying and me regretting most of my past life's choices. Ground floor and parking, the elevator dinged, cueing us to make our hasty escape. We ran like our lives depended on it, because in those long moments, they did. On our way to Brian's car, I slipped and fell in the snow. Brian, who was ahead of me, turned around and prepared to help me up.
"No, go! Start the car! Go!"
I yelled frantically as I slowly made my way to my feet. He spun around and ran towards the car again. I took one step forward and fell to my knees, pain pulsing through my ankle. I loudly groaned in pain, clutching my teeth. I managed to get to my feet and half-limp jog to the car. Just as I closed the passenger door, the front doors of the apartment complex were violently torn from their hinges. The creature held nothing back as it sprinted on all fours towards the car.
"Hang on!"
Brian shifted the car into drive and floored it. Normally, the winter road conditions would have invoked anxiety in me, but right now, I felt as though Brian wasn't driving fast enough. I kept my eyes glued to the rearview mirror, watching the creature gallop towards us, its skinny form seemingly moving in unnatural angles with each step.
"Are you all right?"
Brian asked in a deep concern, his eyes trained on the road ahead.
"I think I broke my ankle,"
I managed to get out in between breaths. He cursed under his breath. I don't think we could get you to a hospital with that thing on our asses, Brian thought out loud. Did you bring a phone? I asked him. I'm going to call the police. Damn it. No, I left mine at the apartment, Brian said painfully. I quietly sobbed as I too had left my phone in a rush. We're going to die tonight, aren't we? I said out loud, not wanting an answer. No, babe, don't say that. Things are going to be fine. We'll make it out of this.
Will we? Will we actually, Brian?
I yelled at him, tears streaming down his face too. He was terrified, just like me, and yet he was trying to protect me and keep me calm. I stumbled to apologize in between sobs, but Brian cut me off. It's gone. He slowed the car to a stop and looked all around.
Where did it go? It's gone. Where did it go?
I too began to look around, unease settling in. I'm not sure what was more horrific, seeing the creature pursue us or not being able to see it, but feel that it was still there. We sat there in the car for a long while, just looking around desperately. In the distance down the road, I noticed headlights. I pointed them out to Brian, and he flashed his high beams off and on. The car pulled over to the side of the road, and Brian got out to talk to the driver. I bit my lip, not enjoying the idea of Brian getting out of the car.
Please, call the police. We need an ambulance, too.
I heard Brian talk to the driver. Just as Brian made his way back to the car, the creature came out of the darkness and took him in its grasp. It happened so quickly. He was just gone, only a few drops of blood on the ground to prove that he was even there. The man in his car across the road screamed and sped off. I sat there, stunned and no doubt in shock. The monster rammed into my passenger side door head first, breaking me from my trance. It broke through the window and shoved its face towards me. I struggled against my seatbelt to repeatedly kick it in its hollow skull. It caught my leg in its mouth and clamped its jaws down hard. I screamed from pain, blood pooling around my wounds. I heard the horrific sound of my leg being bitten through as the beast crunched through the bone. All I could do was scream. Biting down on my other leg, it pulled me through the window. I screamed for my life, but it was no use. With ease, it flung me face first into a nearby tree, and everything went black instantly. My entire body seared with pain, as blurry images of men and women in police uniforms and rescue uniforms loaded me onto the bed into an ambulance. I was drifting in and out of consciousness. When I had finally come to full consciousness, I was in the hospital bed and hooked up to countless pieces of machinery. I had a feeding tube and an oxygen tube in me. My arm had an IV in it, heartbeat monitors attached to my chest. The nurse reading my file gasped when she saw that I was awake and rushed out of the room. The PA system announced several doctors to where I assumed I was located. Within minutes, the doctors were unhooking the feeding tube and oxygen tube, as I had no longer needed them.
We expected you to be in a coma for at least another month, one of the doctors explained to me after the tubes were removed. Another month? I asked before clearing my throat. It still felt as though I had those plastic tubes shoved down my throat. You were out for 6 weeks. You were in a very brutal car accident. While waiting for the emergency vehicles to arrive, you were attacked by an animal. It was a very horrible scene. I blankly stared at him. Don't you remember, Christine? He cocked his head to the side and gave me a quizzical look. It's Christina, I corrected him. And no, I don't. I lied. I laid there for hours, remembering the horrible nightmare that happened to me nearly 2 months ago. My whole body ached and pulsed with pain. I could hardly move. I thought about Brian for the longest time. I assumed that he had been dead, but he had shown up later that night.
I came as soon as I heard you were awake, he told me as he leaned over and kissed my forehead. After the creature had attacked me, it went for you. I watched as it threw you against the tree. I tried to pull it off you, but it threw me away. It told me that it wanted you. It told me that you saw something that you weren't supposed to see, Brian explained. By the time the police and ambulance showed up, the creature had already left. I never saw it leave. It was just somehow gone. I rode with you in the back. The officers recorded it as a bear attack. They don't believe my story. Brian went on to say that he was administered into a hospital for a day, with only flesh wounds and stitches. He said that he and my brothers and parents visited me nearly every day or so. My parents came? I asked, stunned. He nodded, giving me a half smile. In fact, they gave me a call on my way here. They're headed up with your brothers. They said that they'll try to get here before breakfast. When they got the call that you were awake, they pretty much dropped everything and hopped in the car. I teared up and smiled. What did you tell them about what happened? The police told them what they thought happened. I went with it because I want them to like me. I giggled. Then I struggled to sit up. Brian rushed over to give me help to sit me up. I reached down to scratch my leg, but I couldn't quite find the spot. Hey, hun, can you help me? I got an itch and I can't reach it. I'm too sore to be reaching down. I looked at Brian and he smiled back at me. Sure, babe, whereabouts? My left leg, just below the kneecap. Brian went pale suddenly. What's wrong? I removed the blankets as a wave of adrenaline washed over me. Both my legs were gone from just about the knees. I was still coping with my new handicap when my younger brothers, accompanied by my parents, rushed into the room and nearly knocked the wind out of me with big hugs each. Guys, I'm okay, I'm all right. I laughed a little out loud from pure happiness. They said you may never wake up, Zach sobbed as he held me close. They were talking to Mom and Dad about having to pull the plug on you, Gabe said grimly. Doctors aren't always right. Look, I'm fine. Then I looked to my parents, both of them clearly holding back tears. We love you so much, Christina. Don't you ever go thinking otherwise. My mom's voice on the verge of breaking. Come back and live with us, okay? You'll be needing someone to look after you, my father chimed in. I'll have Gabe, I started. We'll move back in with Mom and Dad, Gabe said, giving me a warm smile. I looked over at Brian, who gave me a you-should-listen-to-them look with a smile on top of it. I'll come back home, when they let me out of here. I couldn't finish. I cried of happiness. My parents loved me after all. My parents embraced me in a hug each, and my dad stepped out of the room to talk with one of the nurses. How was the drive up? I asked my mom, wiping a tear from my face. Oh, not too bad. The first few hours were a little snow, but once we passed through Oshawa, Toronto area, it wasn't too bad. Oh, nice. I trailed off. Oh, Chrissy. Zach grew excited. I saw something really cool on the drive up. Oh, that's right. Go on, tell your sister, my mom encouraged. It was a bear-looking creature, but it was wearing this animal skull. I think it was a deer skull, and the bear looked really skinny and tall. Isn't that something? My mom looked at me. I just looked to Brian. I knew I was probably as pale as he was in that moment. I didn't see anything, Gabe stated matter-of-factly. I ignored him. Yeah, it was freaky. Gabe missed it. I saw it too. I don't think your father saw it. My mother's voice grew distant as I stared at Brian. Are you okay? You don't look so good. Someone asked me, but I wasn't sure who. Maybe you all should go home early. I'll bring Chrissy back down when she's out of the hospital, Brian said. You all have lives to get back to. Oh, Brian, that's so sweet of you. But we'll pass. We've got a hotel nearby, and we took the boys out of school," my mom said in her fake, cheery voice. "Mom," I stated in the most serious tone I could muster up, "listen to me very carefully. You have seen something that you weren't meant to see. That thing. It's on its way right now." I teared up. "It's coming to find you and little Zachy."